Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested Movie Reviews. That's the name of the game. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
So, Tag, you're it. It looks so fun. It's based on a true story. I want to know more.
Kind of in the vein of think like Horrible Bosses or The Hangover. You've got what at first glance is a pretty preposterous claim up front. Like with The Hangover, these guys have lost, you know, how many hours? Mm-hmm. They have to backtrack it so they can find their friend. Horrible Bosses, like they decide that they're going to murder their bosses. Like in any like normal situation, this would be very dramatic. Mm-hmm. But both of them are played for laughs because of the audacity of the situation. Tag has a very similar premise in that you have these gentlemen who have been playing a game of tag for the last 30 years. The month of May, they play tag. Now, they all live in different cities now. One of them is like the head of industry. One of them's kind of a stoner. You have them from all walks of life now. But they go to extremes to make sure that they are playing this game. Like at one point, one of the guys is being interviewed by the Wall Street Journal for his business. Like, That's a big deal.
Yeah.
One of the other guys has gotten hired at his place of business, has put on a mustache and a wig, hired as a janitor. Like, and even like you get to see like the interview process. And he's like, I can see here, sir, that says you've had a very successful like veterinary like practice for the last 15 years. You seem very overqualified for this job as a part-time janitor. I mean, can you tell me why you would want to do that? And like, it's Ed Helms.
Oh.
So like, he just launches into like this. The movie is one of the funnier ones that I have seen this summer. Like,
and the point is, Jeremy Renner's character has not ever been it
in 30 years. Like, you can't tag him. Like, and you get to see like a little bit. Like, it doesn't do it like it's an origin story. Like, the first 45 minutes of the movie isn't them as kids. You kind of see it in flashback. Like, you see him. Like, you get little bits of their story. Like, this is what was happening in high school. This happened in their 20s. So like, it feeds the narrative, not in necessarily like a Quentin Tarantino esque fashion, but you're fed the information. When you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
the scene in the graveyard in the trailer makes me laugh every time I see it.
Oh, there! It's full of those type of like comedy like this like is at its best when it's surprising. So like I'm really trying not to hit anything that wasn't in the previews. It definitely earns like its R rating. Like, there's a lot of like cursing in it, and some of the jokes are made at, let's say, a sexual expense.
Yes, yes. I was hoping it would just be maybe a language thing, and I could take the girls because Jenna, who is 11, oh, she has wanted to see it since the very first time she saw the trailer. She's like, I gotta see that. And she's not going to be seeing it.
The first time that you see Jeremy Renner, you get this internal monologue of him running through everything. And, like, dude's as efficient as Hawkeye. Like, in this. Like, you see him, he'll start something and just be like, to the immediate left, I notice that he has a fallacy. I'm going to exploit it. Take out left leg, drop him into this, knock him out using like, it's just, it's got all the choreography of like a Jackie Chan movie. And like I said, it's this preposterous premise because this is all about a bunch of like, I don't know, 50 year old men playing a game of tag.
Which is awesome.
It just,
Jeremy Renner, by the way, he is a fascinating human being. Do you know anything at all about him?
I know not a great deal, but
I knew enough to just be blown
away.
Oh, well, I heard, this was probably a year or two ago, but he was on the Stern Show, and when he went to be an actor, he got, I don't even know what the part was, but he got a part that, let's say it paid $20,000, which when you were unemployed is a big deal. And so
that's a big deal,
yeah.
Even if you are employed.
Well, considering he makes gajillions now.
Right.
So, but he made like a decent amount. And so he and his best friend, they invested it. So he didn't have any other jobs. They invest this money and they lived in a house that they flipped.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then
that's right.
Sold it.
Like he actually like does a lot of like realty.
Yeah,
stuff.
He really, really does.
And is very successful at
uh-huh.
it too.
And like, he'll go and live in a place with no electricity and no water before he was married and stuff. And he'll go and do all that. Well, I think he's divorced now, but still, it wasn't his family. It was just him and his buddy in these houses.
I'd say after like Civil War, Age of Ultron,
yeah.
like Marvel's. I mean, he
from what I understood, he genuinely enjoys it, and that's what he does. And he's made a living on that alone.
Like, to mention nothing of like being in the fourth Bourne movie,
yeah.
being Hawkeye in the Marvel Universe, being in the Hurt Locker,
mm-hmm.
like I want to say he's got a Best Supporting Actor, or maybe it's a Best Actor nomination. I don't think he's won. Like, that's nice for your side job, you know?
Oh, yeah. And he has no problem being called, you know, not the Arrow, which is usually how I refer to him. You know that guy who's not the Arrow?
Yeah, I'm okay. Sure that doesn't make
bother him at all. No, so...
But then he blows his nose with a $100 bill, and he's like, I'm over it.
Oh, and what was the movie he made? It was with a lot of Native Americans, and it was a murder case thing.
Was it In the Forest? It's like blue.
Yeah, In the Forest, yes.
Blue.
It's a really cold-looking movie. It's excellent.
Interestingly enough, written by the same guy that did Sicario.
Oh, okay.
And Hell or High Water,
I believe. If only I could remember the name. Came out within the past couple of years.
I think I believe it's on Netflix now.
If I'm yeah,
I've got it on my queue because I recognized him in it, and then I saw that it said from the writer of Hell or High Water and Sicario, and I'm like, I'm in.
Really, really good. And again, he already knows how to do all this stuff. He already is into the whole wildlife, hunting, trapping, take care of myself business. And oh, by the way, I'm a really successful actor too.
Like, but, tremendously successful. The Marvel yeah. Universe. Maybe you've heard of it.
So it's like, wow, he got, you know, God's going, I'm going to give him talent for this, 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 and, oh, I'm going to make him fairly attractive, too, and I'm going to make him nice.
I would have accepted it better if maybe, like, he looked more like Chris Farley or
yeah.
the Elephant Man
no.
or, like, just... Just, you know, like made him look like an alien from Star Wars.
Nope. And all he wants to do is be present in his daughter's life because she's like 4 to 6 years old, something like that. He said, I'll turn down whatever I need to just so I'm there with her as much.
When she needs me.
Yes.
To, yeah.
He said, I'm not going to be spending 3 years on a set in New Zealand away from my child. He says, she needs her dad and she needs her mom and I'm going to be there. It's like, okay.
Like the.
That's how it should be.
And also in the cast, John Hamm, who.
Ugh.
Who I need to say this. I need to get it off my chest. Is infuriatingly handsome.
Yes.
Like I'm so angry when I see him
mm-hmm.
because he's so good looking. But then he speaks and he's so charming.
Yes.
And the anger subsides.
It's like he and Timothy Oliphant together.
Like I just every role he had, like,
and he's funny.
He's always in a suit, and like
he's dapper.
He wears that suit. It's not the other way around.
Yes.
Like, oh my.
So to see him in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, to see him as the crazed reverend with the beard.
But you know what? I bet he's still handsome and charming,
it's
even as a crazed
so funny.
Reverend.
To hear him saying this whack job stuff is even funnier because at first you don't, well, unless you read the credits, you don't realize it's John Hamm because you really can't see who it is.
Like, I really need him to go down that, what was the movie Charlize Theron was in? That like
A Monster.
Yes. I need that to happen to him. I need them to use some like industrial light and magic and make John Hamm ugly.
Mm.
Because he needs to know what it's like for the rest
Adam,
of us.
Adam, I don't think it's possible.
That's why you have to bring in ILM. If they can make dinosaurs live after 65 million years, they can make John Hamm ugly.
I still believe.
That really would be funny. Yeah. If they just came back, they're like, Steven Spielberg, I know you wanted him to be ugly, but like we just, every time.
He broke the
every
camera.
Every time we try to affix the CGI to his face, it dissipates. I've never seen anything like it. And I don't know how we did it, but I think he's more handsome. Here, look at him. It's like staring into a sunset. How did we, what's going on?
Okay, so it's Jeremy Renner, John Hamm, Ed Helms, and the other guy.
It's the I can't think of his name directly off the top, but like okay. It's a stellar. Isla Fisher is also there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She is.
Is Isla Nubla there too?
No. There are no islands with dinosaurs. I believe they're waiting that for the sequel when they play tag with dinosaurs.
Oh, that reminds me. I was watching a documentary on Spielberg, and they were talking to Jeff Goldblum, of course, and Jeff Goldblum was saying dinosaurs like a normal person, and then Spielberg said dinosaurs.
You think he was?
I think he was the entire time he was imitating Spielberg. I really do, because I was expecting. Adam and I have great joy with Jeff Goldblum's dinosaurs from the very first movie. Dinosaurs. It has to be that, because that's really the only explanation. Why else would you?
He based Ian Malcolm on Steven Spielberg. That would be. I mean, Mike Myers famously said that he based Dr. Evil on Lorne Michaels.
Oh like, yeah,
that is if that's not true, I'm deciding right now that it is.
I am, and that by the way, that's the I think it's on HBO. The Spielberg
documentary, I've seen it. It's spectacular. I watched that and I want to say the Andre the Giant one. Also, HBO just knows how to make television. Like even they're made for TV movies. Like when you're pulling like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro into those, like I don't know if you know those guys, but they're like the greatest living actors.
I have heard of them.
Just I'm putting it out there. Like even when they do something bad, like it's like eating a bad sirloin. Like you're just like, you know. It's not the best one. The last one I had of these had shrimp like covered on the top. It's not as good as that one, but man.
You gotta wonder how that happened. Because, you know, steak is really, really filling. Well, we're going to give them a big plate of meat. What else can we put on there? Hey, how about the insects of the sea? Let's cover it up with shrimp.
I think it's kind of decadence. Like, and I have done that like before. I was on a business trip and I had my per diem and through the day I would just like snack. If I get something too heavy on me during breakfast or lunch, like I know I'm not operating at, you know, peak efficiency. So I'd have like, you know, a little dollar or two here for breakfast or lunch. And then I would just hit it at dinner. And like, I would get like 21 ounce steaks.
Wow.
With shrimp and scallops like covered on it with like
butter,
garlic and butter, like just everything. They would be like, would you like this on it, sir? Yes.
Yes, I would.
Yes. And that too.
Also bring that. Me more.
Whatever. I don't know what you just said.
It's only a wafer thin.
Put it on the side and I'll decide if I want it. Mm-hmm. Like it was just.
I've had french fries fried in pig fat.
I'm just like.
I just wanted to throw that out
there. I'm not saying you need to do this stuff like every single day, but like.
At least once a year.
You know, do it once in your life.
I would like to.
Maybe a couple. Or maybe that's your Christmas present, like for yourself. I'm just putting it out there.
That's what I'll tell my kids. Hey, this year, your Christmas present is a steak.
You know, as an
You're
adult,
welcome.
As an adult, I would appreciate that.
Yeah, I would too.
As a 13-year-old, maybe not.
I don't know. It's really, really good. Really good. Anyway, so of course we're talking food on our movie review show. That's how we roll, you know? Parental guidance suggested, and apparently it is suggested for Tag. I do really want to see it. I would say, when I can rent and or own them, Tag and Ocean's 8 would be a delightful little
like two
three
for,
and a half, 4 hours.
Yeah.
They would really complement each other.
And I want to say Tag is only like maybe an hour and 40 minutes. It's not, it's not like they don't. This isn't like Fellowship of the Ring extended edition. Like you're not there for four. Like they're not putting any like ring in a mountain or anything like that. Like
we can't do it, can we, Adam?
It's no.
We cannot have a conversation without.
I have not
it.
Mentioned Star Trek besides the time when I just did it 4 seconds ago.
I was about to mention it because of the Captain Kirk statue that is now in a town in Iowa whose name I have already forgotten, but. Gene Roddenberry said...
Riverside, Iowa.
Yeah, Riverside.
Yeah.
But,
because it is the future birthplace of James Kirk.
Yeah, and we all know that from Star Trek 4.
Or we should, if we don't.
Yeah, if you don't, you and your social life can go elsewhere. Now, we have... hold on, I got to remember the other movie you saw. Oh, that's right! Ant-Man and the Wasp. Or is it the Ant-Man and Wasp?
I think it's just Ant-Man and the Wasp.
The Wasp.
Yeah.
They
weren't sprinkling those articles in there like willy-nilly.
Who, by the way, Evangeline Lilly, also connected to Lord of the Rings, she was in The Hobbit.
Kind of.
She was in a Hobbit movie.
She was in a Hobbit movie that was not in the Hobbit book.
Yes, I said that to Jim. I said, because I like to, you know, refer to people in an abstract sense. I said, hey, remember? That's the girl from Lost in the Hobbit movie. She wasn't in the Hobbit movie. I said, yes, she was in the Hobbit movie. She wasn't in. Anna Grace says, Dad, you mean Fellowship?
And then he just walked out of
the
room.
I didn't say Fellowship. I said, the Hobbit movie.
It was not in that movie.
Oh, I wish I could have been recording him last night when his sleep was interrupted. It was... as if the crotchetiest grumpster you have ever imagined.
He's like the stunt double for Walter Matthau and Grumpy
yes,
Old Men.
And I don't even know half of what he was saying, but it was like it was almost rackum frackum.
And then
he'd walk and he'd hit his foot on the bed.
Sounded like Yosemite Sam when like he was mad Bugs Bunny had done something to him.
So funny.
Long-eared galoot.
I gotta get up in the morning. Well, we all do. It was awesome. And at 3:30 in the morning when that happened, I was thinking of you, Adam. It's like, oh, Adam would really enjoy this.
I gotta call. Adam, here. You're on speakerphone. Don't say anything. Just listen.
Which, actually, next time I'll just do that because you would totally understand.
Oh, this is fantastic. Adam, don't talk. Don't talk. You're on speakerphone.
It was so funny. And then I left the room to take care of the dogs, and I can hear him saying, something's on my pillow, something's on my... Don't take that. He just wouldn't stop. It was beautiful.
We need to get, like, a GoPro and just, like, put it on his head. Just feed it into, like, a YouTube... just a live YouTube channel or whatever. Maybe a Facebook feed. I don't know. I haven't worked out all the details.
People don't realize just how funny Jim is.
unintentionally sometimes.
Anyway, back to our movie review.
Jim, who is not in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
By the way, Jim, his favorite sport is watching movies.
It's a wonderful sport.
That is his sport. He excels at it. He will even rewatch movies just to watch them with me. It's like, well, that's just kind of annoying. I don't want to, if I haven't seen it.
I'll do that, like with the kids. Like,
oh, that's
especially
different.
Especially like films that are like, let's say, like 20 years old. I can't watch the film with like new eyes anymore. Like, especially when like I can tell you when like somebody's gonna walk out of the background, like I can quote that line for I can't experience the movie like that anymore. But if I am watching it with someone else who is maybe seeing it for the first time, like they've never seen the original Batman or like just something of that nature.
Pow.
It's fun to watch it through their eyes and see how they experience it. Because I'm not nine anymore. I can't experience Batman 1989 that way anymore. Like,
What a shame. If only you could. So the next movie, because this is a movie review show, lest we digress, is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Which I believe is actually the first time a female has been given lead status in
Marvel.
Yeah.
I want to say opening weekend, it made $76 million. So
they were projecting, I think, like 80. It was slightly below. Like, and again, I'm saying like the film made $76 million. So like this, we're not spelling doom for Marvel. They had one in February that made $1 billion. Then they had one in, was it May?
Yeah, it was in May. Infinity I'm War still was... annoyed that people don't. They're Solo is what I'm of course
sitting at $210 million domestically.
All of a sudden Star Wars and Marvel just made a baby there. Solo, it's a good movie, man.
It really is. And I'll tell you, like, even if it doesn't make all the money, like I think Infinity War did, like it is still going and it's already at like $2.1 billion. So like I don't think Disney's necessarily like crying right now. I mean, maybe Ron Howard is.
Yeah.
But like Disney as a whole is not just like, woe is us. Mm. What will we do? Lordy.
That is pretty good. Anyway, so that is a cool thing that you're right. She is a lead from the comic books and whatnots. How are they as characters? Was the Wasp also like a full-blown thing, like Wonder Woman, or was she just kind of a little aside?
She was actually one of the original Avengers.
Really?
When Joss Whedon was putting together that, like, Joss Whedon is a traditionalist. Like, he wanted classic villain. Like, Loki is the first villain that the Avengers fight together, like, when they first form.
He's too attractive to be evil.
That's not the issue in the comic book, though.
Oh, I
just
see.
Whedon is he's very much a loyalist, like, in that sense. And he wanted to have that character. But Edgar Wright was developing Ant-Man mm-hmm. at that point with, I think, I want to say Joe Cornish was writing it with him. And they had
his hens.
They had basically said, no, we're doing Ant-Man, like, we're going to introduce the Wasp. You go take the other, like, one of the other 700 female characters that exist in the Marvel comic books and use them. Like, and then I think they had went to, like, Emily Blunt initially, mm-hmm. but I think she was pregnant at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's how Scarlett Johansson ended up with the part. But initially, it was going to be all of the original Avengers in as much as they appeared in the comic books.
And, not to give it away, but to kind of give it away, it's the original Avengers, I hear tell, at the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp, that we are led to believe in Avengers 4? Is that the next one?
I think it is reportedly going to be called Endgame.
Okay, but is it, chronologically, is that what they're referring to as Avengers 4? Am I missing something?
Avengers 4, yes.
Okay, that is, so the deal is to get all the originals together, is what I'm understanding for Avengers 4, and to deal with whatever Thanos did or undo or unsnapify.
How much can I say about Infinity War right now? I mean, it's been out
It's been out for several...
Okay,
The girl's a guy, and Titanic, the ship sinks, okay? Go for it.
All right. At the end of Infinity War, like basically all of the Marvel, like Sam Jackson is gone, Maria Hill's gone, Black Panther's gone, most of the Guardians of the Galaxy are gone, except for, I believe, Rocket. Basically the big dogs that you have left standing at the end of Infinity War are all of the original Avengers from Marvel's the 2011
film.
Okay,
so who are the original Avengers?
Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Hawkeye, Black Widow, and am I forgetting somebody?
The Wasp?
Well, I don't want to go too far into Ant-Man.
Okay.
But
we're talking about that main crew.
Those are the ones that are going to be up front. And I think basically they want to give those guys one last ride because several of their contracts are up. And they want the final... It's not the final Avengers movie.
It will never be the final Avengers movie.
The last one just made $2 billion. Avengers is not over.
Avengers. And...
like, Chris Evans has said he is probably not... Probably not going to do any more. Robert Downey Jr. is only getting more expensive. Like, they've been very coy about, is there going to be an Iron Man 4? Does he appear in anything else? So, like, all of these stars that have... played very prominent roles in the Marvel Universe this first 10 years. They're I don't know if Disney is intentionally like not leaking their contract information or if this is their last hurrah. I mean, if it is, I think this is the note to go out on. Do I want to see Chris Evans be Captain America more? Absolutely.
All the time.
You can give me six more. I don't care. However long he'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I like Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Keep it going.
But yeah, that, and Chris Evans feels that he's aging out, and it's like, I guess. Or, but you know that the physical shape they have to be in.
Captain America is
like
97 in these movies.
Precisely,
he looks exceptional for a 97-year-old man.
Yes, he does.
He looks exceptional for my age.
Wait a minute, Thor. Thor's an original Avenger. Yes, no.
Yes.
Now
that's who I was not thinking of.
Thor.
But Thor is also alive at the end of Infinity War.
What about Loki?
I've told you my theory about that. Like, I don't think you ground Tom Hiddleston like that.
I'm still outraged. Maybe it is,
but like,
no.
I don't think that is a golden goose right there. And I don't think you kill the golden goose because they're going to stop laying eggs.
That's right. So I'm with you on that. Okay. So Ant-Man and the Wasp, is it a good movie?
It's... If you will look at the two films that have came out this year, Marvel does about three a year now. Black Panther is pretty serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, in as much as like you can be serious and be about like a man that dresses up in a vibranium suit and like fights things like he's James Bond and rules a kingdom. Like,
so vibranium, is that also something that doesn't exist, like an M-class planet?
Yes, vibranium is not real.
Are you sure?
Vibranium, adamantium, like... These are just, if it was, it'd be the coolest metal in the world.
And the shiny blue thing, you know,
the Infinity Stone?
Oh, it's called.
No, Infinity Stones do not exist, Jane.
Are you sure?
I think I'd know.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I'm pretty in the know about that stuff.
Infinity
War, like, especially the ending of it, like, it's pretty dour. Like, very action-packed, mm-hmm. very entertaining, but, like, kind of ends on a downer.
Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, like, is just, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't take itself too seriously. Like, its scope is smaller. And there are a lot of genuine laughs. Like, even more so than the special effects in this movie, the key ingredient in this is Paul Rudd.
Oh, yeah, Paul Rudd.
Like, I mean, you've got Evangeline Lilly, you've got Michael Douglas, you've got Lawrence Fishburne. You have a supporting cast that is very impressive in and of itself, but, like, Paul Rudd, he's the secret, like, herbs and spices
mm-hmm.
in the Ant-Man recipe.
He is the perfect everyman. You want him to be your friend. He's attractive, but he's not, like, so attractive that you despise him like John Hamm. But it's like, wow, he seems like a really great guy.
But like throughout the film, and again, like it's got action, like it moves briskly enough. Your scale, or at least as far as like your battles and stuff, like the universe does not hang in the balance this
mm-hmm.
time.
What is the story? It's just that there's somebody in a suit
Hank
who
Pym,
I don't know what it is.
Hank Pym's wife has been trapped in the quantum realm.
Okay.
For like the past like 20, 30 years. And after Scott Lang got stuck in there at the end of the last
mm-hmm.
movie, he suspects, he thinks he's figured out a way that he can get his wife
right.
out of there. There is another character that upon learning about the existence of Janet, that they can possibly use some of the quantum energy to stabilize her. She's a ghost. She's the white clad
mm-hmm.
figure. Looks like she's...
Did you say she's Ghosh?
Ghost.
Oh, Ghost.
That's her name in it.
But is she Ghosh?
who, by the way, got... I don't know if this is what sold her on the role. Steven Spielberg did, as I understand it, a handwritten note telling Peyton Reed that he's like, I worked with her on Ready Player One. She's exceptional. This girl's fantastic. Here are some of her other like credits that she's done. You will be doing yourself and your production a disservice if you don't cast this girl. Sincerely, Steven Spielberg. And I'm just like,
can I get one of those?
Like it was either Peyton Reed or the one that had written the article, I was reading this, and he's like, the best one of those I ever got was from, like, my English teacher. Like, this person has Steven Spielberg just going, you should cast this person.
How do you say no to that?
Yeah, well, exactly. And she's in the movie.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be funny if they didn't cast
her? They're just like, who's Steven Spielberg?
What does he know?
And they're just like, well, he invented the blockbuster. He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like.
He says dinosaurs.
Dude. Kind of knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if it's, you know, brain surgery, listen to somebody else. If it's about a movie,
yeah, listen to Spielberg.
Go ahead, do what that guy said.
So she's the baddie in this one.
Yes,
Gauche. I will now think of her as Gauche.
The Gauche.
Gauche.
Or Ghost.
And
so
they're dealing with her, and they're trying to find his wife. That's the story.
And eventually, these two things kind of come to their own head. Like, it feels very much like a heist movie.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Kind of similar in the way to the way Ocean's 8 was. Like, again, like the stakes aren't like reasonably high, but it's a very fast paced.
Oh, good.
Kind of thing. They're
and his friends from prison.
Yes. You have his friend who liked to put his own spin on the events that had happened. At one point, they give him a truth serum while interrogating him.
Oh, nice.
It's the funniest interrogation scene I believe I've ever seen. Like, they ask him
so
where...
So it's not Sharon Stone funny?
No.
Ooh.
No. Now, they ask him, like, they're like, where is Scott Lang? And he decides in his brain that they're asking him, like, where he is, like, mentally, where he is spiritually. And he just goes, and they can't get him to shut up long enough to be like, no, where is he physically? Like, you just get him to go on, and they're just like, what does this have to do with what? And he just keeps, like, just a very, very funny film that also happens to be a superhero film.
I love it. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when Ant-Man came out, 2 years ago?
I think it was 2015, I believe. Maybe two or 3 years ago.
I enjoyed it, but I thought that maybe the reviews were kind of on it.
I think like maybe 83%. Like, I mean, it was that they weren't like glowing. It just wasn't.
It was
over
like
the
Solo of the Marvel.
They're saying it's
just
fun.
Kinda, eh.
It's fun. It's not. It's maybe not where, like, you know, Winter Soldier like was, or like it's not as, you know. But it's funny. It's fun, and you're not going to be mad that you were there.
Right.
And I think especially after the films Marvel has done this year, this was the perfect.
Oh yeah,
the perfect compliment to those two films.
So what one are they going to put up for Oscar consideration in December?
The Marvel films?
Yes.
You know, I think Kevin Feige is probably so busy counting all of the money that, like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, sure, if they gave him a Best Picture, like, for producing, like, let's say Infinity War, I mean, he'd show up, he'd be grateful. But, like, dude is in command of, like, the mightiest franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really can't think of another like that's even come. Maybe the Star Wars movies.
Yeah,
but I mean, I believe that this will be their 20th. They have opened, all of them have opened at number one. I think they're sitting at $14 or $15 billion,
okay,
combined.
Adam, now, why do we, the people, embrace these superhero movies?
Well, I in particular, like, this is a piece of, like, my childhood. When, like, my grandma would get me to mow the lawn or clean up this or that, or, like, maybe help them bale hay, or, like, you know, get eggs from the chickens in the barn. Like, if I was doing any of that work, it was so I could get 75 cents so that whenever we went up to Red Foods, I could go up to the spinner rack and get myself a copy of, like, Adventures of Superman, or, like, the new Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, just anything. That's what I wanted. And, like, when I was a kid, like, occasionally, maybe every 4 years, like, maybe you got a Superman movie. Was it good?
Mm.
Not after Superman 2. Like, and then you had the Batman movies. And about every, like, 3-4 years, you'd get one of those. Like, you get up to Batman Forever. Was it great? No. But, I mean, you had a superhero movie.
Yeah, that's something.
You didn't
need
to complain because you only got them every couple of years. And, like, if you didn't go see it, they're going to stop making these. Like, they just released three Marvel Studios, and I'm not even talking about, like, Deadpool or X-Men Dark Phoenix or Justice League or like Wonder Woman 2. Or I'm not talking about it. Aquaman's coming out later this year. Like, I cannot count on a single hand all of the superhero films.
You could if you were mildly deformed.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I mean, this is not a visual medium that we're doing this year. But just, I'm just, I only have five fingers. Well, four
you
fingers
say,
and a thumb on the hand that I'm raising
he
right
says.
Now. Like, we are in the golden age of, like, superhero cinema. And as a kid, like, if you would have told, like, 7, 8-year-old me, they'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, you're not going to have time to see them all sometimes. Like,
mm-hmm.
they are just going to be coming at you. So, like, it boggles
Ooh,
my mind.
And then you can watch them on TV.
There's 9 X-Men movies. Like, I just, it would hurt the head of young me. Like, this is the perfect time if you are a fan of the, and like I said, I read every comic book I could get my hand on. Like, that's what I would work for when I was a kid. Like,
and I guess it could be not just that, it could be the writers, producers, directors had the same experience and now they're in a position to do something about it. It's like, this is what I wanted to see.
Well, a lot of them are going to be like in their late 30s, early 40s, or like, I mean, even like near, like maybe in their early 50s. Like, these would be those kids that mm-hmm. were growing up on like Steve Ditko, who just recently passed, 90 mm-hmm. years old, co-creator of Spider-Man. Like, these were the people that were reading those, like, that were just constantly, like, being fed this. And, like, in our heads, like, we knew what the movie looked like. Like,
mm-hmm.
we didn't think it was ever going to happen. Like, again, like, you had Superman movies and Batman movies, and sometimes Marvel would do these terrible, like, straight-to-video,
right.
like, movies. Or you had, like, some of the ones that, like, you had a Thor team up with the Bill Bixby, like, Hulk. Did it look cheap? Yeah. But you know what? It's Thor and the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, they had an Iron Man that also showed up, like, around that time. Like, looks like a man in a trash can in a cardboard. Like, but you know what?
I haven't seen that, and it sounds hilarious.
Google it. Google it when we're done here. Like, it's the 70s Iron Man is, well, it's not Lou Ferrigno. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That is
Lou Ferrigno?
That is the best possible translation you got of
wow.
Marvel character. Like, Lou Ferrigno was the Hulk for me for years.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, even him, and he looked like him. Like, you had
He's
this.
He's perfect.
Yeah. Thor and Daredevil and Iron Man and Captain America did not get quite the same translation. There was something definitely lost in that translation.
Well, I love it because I like fun movies. I mean, I can certainly appreciate a great movie, but I like fun movies.
Ant-Man had one of the laziest after-credit sequences.
Lazier than them just sitting around a diner?
Yeah, but you also had Thanos teased before that. Like, if you're going to do 2 or 3, you can have one that you're playing. You're talking about it, shawarma?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'll take that. I thought
it was hilarious.
I thought they were about to hit me with some science, and then it was just them hanging out, like
eating a sandwich.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is important. How long do we wait for the end sequence?
There are two.
Okay.
So there will be one immediately after kind of the colorful credits,
mm-hmm.
and then whenever they go to like the black and white ones, you're going to have one at the very end
okay.
of that. That one's not quite as important. You want the one after the colorful credits.
Mm-hmm.
It, again, I don't want to ruin anything about it. It definitely teases into what is coming up. And like I said, I don't want to get any more specific than that, but that's definitely the one you want to see. The next one, it's kind of funny.
Like, okay.
Stick around, watch it. It's humorous. But the first after credit sequence, especially when the first Ant-Man had a scene from Civil War. Like, it was not shot specifically for that movie. Literally, it was like if it was scene 17 on the DVD, they just lifted it and put it at the end there. Like, looking back on it, I'm just like, that's lazy, guys. Like, that's just ridiculously lazy. Now, this one, probably one of the better ones. Like,
nice.
I don't want to say it's the best, because I still think that, I think Iron Man owns that when, again, I'm just, because I'd been told, stick around for the credits. I was like, oh, okay. I had no idea Samuel L. Jackson was going to appear as Nick Fury. Like, I was about to lose. I was like, oh, neat, because I didn't know it was going to turn out 20 movies later, and they were. But I was like, cool. There was Samuel L. Jackson. That would be nice if they did an Avengers movie. Maybe.
Maybe, and your dream came true. So, a good week to go to the movies, go and see Tag. Not so much for the kids. And Ant-Man and the Wasp. Pretty much anyone who can focus for 2 hours.
Yeah. Like, I mean, on it, like it's not inappropriate. Like, it's maybe not as family friendly as, say, The Incredibles was. But I took
between The Incredibles and Deadpool.
Yeah, it's definitely between that spectrum. You really that's every film ever made right there. Where does it fall between Incredibles and Deadpool? How long do you have?
And the human caterpillar.
I mean, that's... You can fit about every film that's ever been made between right that spectrum right there.
I'm going to demand people always tell me where it falls on that spectrum from now
and
on.
Just take a picture of their face after you say it. Yeah, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp, it's not offensive. Like, it's fun. Like, it really is something you can take your... Like, okay. I took my
your
girlfriend,
tribe.
Our boy. Yeah, like, I took them. They... Kristen, who is not a big fan of superheroes.
What?
Yeah, she was a girl.
Whatever.
Like, she is a girl.
Still, yeah. Well.
Yeah, there's no twist ending there. Don't stick around for the credits there. That wasn't her thing when she was a kid. Like, she even said, she's like, Paul Rudd's funny. Like, so, I mean, it's accessible. Like, and again, I don't know that you really need this franchise to be any more successful. The last one made $2 billion. Sounds pretty accessible to me.
How can you not like Paul Rudd?
I think it's impossible. Not liking Paul Rudd, not finding him affable, is like not finding John Hamm attractive.
Yeah.
It's just that you can't.
And if some...
10 out of 10 dentists agree, John Hamm
is attractive.
Yeah.
And Paul Rudd is affable.
Yeah.
He's not avuncular. That's more Stan Lee.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. This... We're just seeing the whole Stan Lee thing unfold. It's just... Sad. He's 95, so he's clearly not going to be with us that much longer.
I really wish you wouldn't say things like that.
But now what is it? There are restraining orders, and maybe there's elder abuse, and
elder
maybe there's
abuse,
this.
One of his agent was like taking advantage, like.
And his daughter is I really have found it hard to follow.
It turns my stomach. Like, it's like hearing about a grandparent, like. That's going through trouble that I can't be there because I'm not related to him. Mm-hmm. But like this guy
in
played
a way you are.
This guy played a huge part in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even to a certain extent, my adulthood. Cause I mean, I eat these Marvel movies up. Like, I've got the Blu-ray, like if they've got the 4K of it, like I've got that. Like, I've got the books pertaining to it. I read the articles on the net. Like, I love this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like this guy is he created this stuff. Like, maybe he's not directly like responsible for the films.
His brain.
Like, but I mean, that man's head, it's a $1 billion brain.
Yeah. And so I wonder, and I don't mean to sound macabre, but I wonder, given his age, have they filmed a lot of cameos?
They have said they have.
Okay.
That which both delighted me and kind of
yeah,
kind
okay.
of hurt my like it
Yeah.
I don't want him to not be doing cameos in these, but again, I know he's 95, like, and if they do create a serum that allows you to last forever, I think he should be one of the candidates for it.
Yes.
Disliking him is like saying like Fred Rogers was a jerk.
Yeah, you
or
can't
like
do it.
Dolly Parton doesn't do anything to help other people. Like,
mm-hmm.
you just those are three individuals, like, when I think about them, like, it just, my heart warms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the cockles, like, surrounding my heart, like, they just dance. Like, these people have brought so much joy, like, to people. They just, they seem like kind, like, individuals, and I don't want the world to exist without them.
Yes, and I don't want any accusations of anything, because I don't want to believe that they ever did anything bad. There aren't any, I'm just saying. Sometimes stuff comes out of left field. It's like, oh, not them. Did they have to be a jerk after all these years? Because
that
happened. I don't remember the guy's name, but he was, he's deceased, but he was probably the equivalent of Mr. Rogers, but in England. And I just, for some reason, cannot remember his name. And,
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Like, it.
Yeah.
Because I think they, that was even, like, kind of this, that was the lead into it. They were like, it's England's Mr. Rogers. Mm-hmm. And they talked to him, and I'm like, well, I didn't have the childhood experience, like, of this guy, but, like,
I could only imagine.
That's gotta hit you hard. Like, especially if, like, you grew up, like, being told, like, Barney the Dinosaur, has killed more than a velociraptor. after the children
with boredom.
After the children grew too old, he would eat them, and that's why they were no longer on the show.
And on the Barney show, the guy that would read from the book, whoever his name was, he wasn't dressed as a dinosaur, dressed as a guy.
I was in my teens.
An old
when
guy.
Barney was on.
I don't know. He is my friend's friend. He played Doody in Grease.
Okay, good.
That guy.
I thought you were about to hit me with something. They'd just be like,
No.
And at night, he would feast on the skin of vagrants that he killed on his drive home.
It, like, puts on the lotion.
Don't do this. The world already has too much darkness.
I know. That's just why I'm very excited about Tag and Ant-Man and the Wasp. They sound uplifting. And
I think a lot of places are still... Solo's still playing, Avengers Infinity War. Both of those are probably about to go out of theaters. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been out for a while. Also, except, like, Sicario, not family friendly, good, like,
but not necessarily uplifting.
Sicario's not uplifting.
Nope. I'm going for the I want a happy feeling.
I'm saying, like, there is something to watch at the theater right now.
Yeah,
like,
there sure is.
This is not a dry spell. Like, if you need to be entertained for an hour and 40 minutes, 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours, depending. There's something to watch right now.
And coming up, we've got Christopher Robin and...
Mission Impossible Fallout.
That's right.
And I'm sure there's something else. But yeah, okay. those are on the horizon.
Those are the two big ones that I'm thinking are on the way. All right, good. I look forward to it. Christopher Robin has forgotten his childhood.
Man, I'm not a crier. Like, I don't cry at funerals. I kind of got a little misty, like, during that.
Oh, yeah, that trailer.
Ewan McGregor, who is just, A, is Obi-Wan Kenobi. B, is just a talented actor in his own right. Like, seeing them brought, I mean, they're not alive. I get that. But I'm saying, like, the way that they're done, it's it's like they're stuffed animals, but, like, they're moving independently. They've brought it into the third realm, if you, the third dimension. Just a very, like, if you haven't watched it yet, like, YouTube,
yeah,
the
go
thing
see
or
the
whatever,
trailer.
Look at the trailer. Like, this is just an interesting take on a franchise that's been, when was the first, when did Disney do the first movie?
Late
60s?
Yeah, I guess.
Something like that, yeah. But, like, it just, this looks like the perfect way to extend that property.
Yeah, so I hope it is a good movie. It's a good trailer. There's that.
So if that's worth anything, I think Christopher Robin is going to be... worth watching.
Okay.
And if not, we'll let you know.
Yeah, oh, believe me, we will. And we'll let you know other random things that have nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah. Probably during that podcast.
Yeah, probably during that as well. So thank you for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. We will have another one next week. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.